My Michelle Live Podcast.
My Michelle Live. My Michelle Live. Sports, timeout. The fans, the field, the faith, the fun. Here's Michelle.
Yes, she is. Here's Michelle. But not just Michelle. Welcome, sports fans. It is time for Sports Time Out. Let me introduce you to the round table. We're going to be taking on some crazy sports stories, some exciting sports stories, more political sports stories, really, and so much more. But here's my round table of fellas. We have with us a great array of personalities, backgrounds, experiences, but we all come together for sports. And I'm going to introduce you to Brent R. Baker. I wish we had our sound effects today, but I am on the road. I'm near Houston. But back home, Brent Baker, he is an author. And we should talk more about your book because it is out and people can get it. It is extraordinary, breaking yesterday. He is a photographer and a reporter of sports. He's also a coach of sports. Now, we have Encyclopedia of Sports, Rich Hallstrom. He's also the author of Thunder Sports Network, veteran sports reporter, and the official 12th man of the Seattle Seahawks. We have with us chaplain, pastor, coach, soccer player, and all-around cool reverend of all sports, Garrick Payne. And I'm just the talker of sports. I'm Michelle Mendoza, and we today are going to be taking on the sports of the week. So guys, I just want to get to it first. You've got Sounders up, Mr. Garrick Payne. So I wanted to get to this. I was telling you guys, it was like my confession. I've been going to Garrick's church at least virtually every week. So I had to make a confession to my pastor. I have cheated on my team. Opening day, the opening home game for the Seattle Sounders. Beautiful day, by the way. I was in Houston, Texas. I had to catch my flight the night before, so I went to see the opening match of the Dynamo taking on the Colorado Rockies. I did bring the Seattle weather with me, so I was cold. I was wet. Well, you guys had what, flipping 75 degrees cloudless skies, so you're welcome there. But oh my gosh, what a match. And Freddie Montero, you know, welcome back from the Vancouver team up there, the Whitecaps, making his return to the Sounders after being a record setter there. Look at me, I could go on and on. I can't believe I missed that game. But Freddie Montero scoring a goal, that was outstanding. There was a lot going on there. And you know what? I know you're biting at the bit, Mr. Garrick Payne. So paying us. Let's talk Sounders. Let's talk MLS. Bring it.
Let me lose. Let me out. I had to wear my super bright Sounders shirt because the first half was a little bit concerning, although I was telling Brent after the game that when I was watching Minnesota in the first half, they were just really super high pressuring all over the pitch, and I thought to myself, they cannot sustain this.
Okay.
They will not be able to sustain this for 90 minutes. And
unless they score big, if you're going to play that way, you got to score big, and then you can pull it back a little bit and then just
but
defend.
Even if you do against the Sounders, I mean, we see kind of that similar thing of what happened in the playoff game last time, last season. But I will tell you, the Sounders settled in, and I've actually had privy to some of Coach Spencer's halftime talks, and I think he said the right things to the team because clearly we didn't panic. We didn't, we settled in mm-hmm. and oh my gosh, Jao Paulo's goal. If that is not in.
Oh, and can I, before goals, I forget about it, right? If you have a Twitter account, you can go to MLS for goal of the week and you can vote for Jao Paulo.
Okay.
Who I was so excited when he joined up with the Sounders. Anyway, he brings a great element. But can I just sidestep, though, and say it was beautiful to see the support of the fans, not only for Freddie, but also for Ozzie Alonso, right? That was, yep. You know, longtime Sounders player.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful story that man has. I mean, beautiful story. And to see him come back and the fans just go crazy over that, that must
have
felt
good. For those who are not from Seattle or Sounders fans, he defected.
And if you're not a Sounders fan, why not? What's going on there? Anyway.
But, he defected from Cuba in, he was traveling with the national team, and he defected in a Walmart. And so it's actually not uncommon for that to happen, but what a great story. And unfortunately for Minnesota, he didn't start the game. They brought him in later on in the match. But I am a little concerned for the Sounders in terms of our defensive situation.
Mm-hmm.
I really miss Kelvin Leardom on the right there. But Alex Roldan did a good job filling that spot.
People were nervous about that because he had some flubs in
last season
that were
especially in the championship game. Oh. I think it actually cost us.
Yeah.
But moving what's our left back name? Moving him into the middle, I was a little concerned about that too. But my brain's just not there at the moment.
I wasn't at the game. I've had to watch highlights, so I can't help you out there. I was watching the Houston Dynamo. This was my first experience in Houston watching a game there at BBVA Stadium.
Knew who got moved inside.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah. Sorry. And,
there it is.
He's a tough defender, but he just made me a little bit nervous there a few times.
Let's just be honest, knew who's kind of a loose cannon. He just kind of is, right? He plays a little hot-headed. Sometimes he makes some mistakes. So, I'd like to see him hone in a little bit. But I did want to share my experience there for fans who are Dynamo fans. I'm sorry, I will be Sounders till I die, but after my experience there, Houston, I'll be rooting for you if you're not playing against the Sounders. What a great bunch of people I sat next to. Some may be listening right now, but they were welcoming. And even though I had to, come on, it was opening day for my team. I had to sport my colors. And though I got some eye rolls, they welcomed me in. I cheered on the Dynamo. It was misty. It was cold. It was total Seattle weather. It was
Did they blame you?
Yeah, essentially. But they got the win, so it really didn't matter. And I just had a great time. I had a really great time. Minute Maid Park had fireworks for me as I was walking by. It's just been a really great experience. But MLS is in full swing, and we're starting to see some good things happening. Rich, how are the standings looking? It's really too early, even though people are pointing out, it's going to be Columbus or it's going to be LA, but it's really too early. But how are we seeing things after this first round?
Like you said, Michelle, it's really too early. How we were talking about, everybody was talking about LAFC and LA Galaxy and Columbus and how Columbus was going to come off a championship and defend that championship. And lo and behold, the MLS and ESPN got together for their rankings this week. And guess what? Seattle's on top. They apparently actually watched the game and watched some highlights and actually did something. So that's going to be interesting to see. But I think it was, if I can put my two cents in here, Michelle, perfect way to forget about last year's MLS Cup with a 4-0 win over Minnesota. Sounders still undefeated all time against Minnesota, 7-0-1. Perfect way to start the season. Now, can the Sounders keep up that same intensity week after week at the beginning of the season? That's what we'd like to see, is for them to get out to a good start.
We'll have to dig out of the hole
again. Let's not wait until July, gentlemen, to go after a championship. What do you think, Gary?
He's speechless.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
Did I take away your thunder there, my friend?
I was speechless for a moment. But, if we can maintain at the back. That's just my biggest concern.
Okay, so what do we have to do? I mean,
Maybe get another player too.
Yeah, well, maybe. But again, early in the year, every MLS team is, you know, kind of buying, getting the feel as we start this new season. I think playing with fans, even though we're at a less capacity, that was really good. It is a little bit weird going into the stadium and having things zip tied off and, you know, real tough. I know that you were sharing, Brent, that even outside of professional sports, people are getting a little, what's a good word for it? That they're getting not only intense, but almost with this religious fervor where COVID is concerned.
I think the word we're looking for, Michelle, is myopic.
Okay.
Well, I think we've seen a lot in the last year plus now how I think a lot of this is isolation driven, where people kind of retreat into their ideological corners, and then after things fester long enough, it kind of explodes out onto the rest of us. And, you know, almost everything we've talked about, I think, has been connected to that recently. What we experienced at a high school track meet was being warned that there were people in the community that wanted youth sports shut down, and there was the potential of us being spied on, you know, a bunch of high school kids at a track meet outside. And
especially kids who don't have extreme symptoms. There's, you know, the amount of serious issues with that age group is pretty much non-existent.
Well, and again, these situations are outside and largely not in physical contact with each other, grouped together. I mean, it's not like it was football, which, you know, we played this spring here. But just the thought that we've got people out there trying to play gotcha. On whether kids are wearing masks or not, and trying to shame them online or whatever. It's a sad commentary on where we're at right now.
Yeah.
I think there's I've seen some of that from the other extreme too, where there's people that are so against any kind of precautions at all that they kind of flaunt their non-maskedness or whatever. There's a small town near us that they had some sort of 80s dance or whatever, and within 2 weeks they had like 40 cases of COVID associated with that event. So,
and that's understandable, but I think in some cases maybe we should ask, are we blowing things out of proportion? How many cases versus how many hospitalizations? How
right.
many deaths? How, I mean, if we did that with everything like colds or even flus that kill, you know, quite a few people every year, you know, if we're looking at case count instead of,
right.
you know, what's getting serious. And if everybody's getting vaccinated, why are people still getting sick? And if your mask works, why are people still getting sick? Why are you worried about, you know, it's really confusing to me. I think that we're not having an entire conversation, and in the midst of it, sports is going on, but from high school sports to professional sports, we're still dealing with those issues, and we may be dealing with it for a long time. I wanted to talk about another issue, me being here in the Houston area, Deshaun Watson, in that ever continuing saga. I guess there has been evidence destruction charged on both sides, and now we have a new NFL player from Louisiana, Mr. Alden Smith, that has charges brought against him. You know, these things get to be big stories. We pay attention, and whatever happened, I'm gonna let Rich talk about what's going on there, but whatever happened to aspiring to be a sports hero, someone that kids could look up to? I think we've kind of turned it into what can I get what you can what you get, and we miss that opportunity to really make a difference. Rich?
Well, with the Alden Smith situation, he recently signed a $1.1 million contract with a $137,000 bonus with the Seahawks. He was supposed to help out the Seahawks defensive line. And a couple days after signing that contract, he got into a little scuffle in a restaurant in a small town in Louisiana and had to turn himself in, and under Louisiana law, he could be facing a second-degree assault charge that could either be a fine or 8 years in prison. Last year, he kind of got his football act back together playing for the Cowboys, Brent. He had, I believe, 5 sacks, played previously with the 49ers, but had some off-field issues with them that included alcohol and some other type of incidents, being influenced by several different things. Not a good look for Alden Smith if he wants to continue his football career, and the Seahawks are currently gathering more information.
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, I do believe 3 of those sacks came against the Seahawks. So. but, I, you know, when you have a past, I mean, I love the redemption story, but when you have a past, you need to learn from the mistakes you've made and the consequences you've experienced. And he spent several years out of the league for a variety of reasons. You just got your feet wet again, just signed a new contract with minimal guarantees. So your career has second life. So you got to watch where you're going, what you're doing. There's some talk that there was some threat or something to his sister or whatever. It's like, still, where are you going? Who are you hanging out with? What are you doing? Because you, as an athlete who's getting paid a lot of money, you're going to have a target on your back anyway. And once, as far as the NFL is concerned, once you have a list of offenses attached to your name, the rope is going to be a lot shorter than it was. So, as you said, it's a real bad look. For the Seahawks, their risk with the signing was minimal, which I'm glad, but it's too bad to see what could be a promising rebirth to his career coming to an end because of this.
Well, I think it really goes to what you said, Brent, that this is really about a character choice that each individual makes. Deshaun Watson and Alden Smith are in the same boat, but different charges and different circumstances. And this goes back to one thing that I believe I said last week. You've got to get some new friends if your friends are not taking you in the right direction. I'm just going to put it out plain and simple that way. Your friends are the biggest influence that you have. The people you hang out with are the biggest influence. And they also demonstrate what your character is.
Well, I think this also in part kind of unveils a deeper issue that's going on. And I think that is just kind of how we treat athletes a little bit too. Because,
ooh.
I mean, he's given a little time off and then he comes back. But the question is he really addressing some of the issues that got him into trouble in the first place? And so as you guys have pointed out, well, sure, it'd be a good thing to say, hey, make better choices, hang out with different people. But at the same time, if someone has some underlying issues and they are left unchecked and not dealt with, then you're going to end up kind of in the same situation over and over again. And I think you're right. If people kind of intentionally seek out support, help, if they recognize kind of their situation, but if it's one of those things, and you can usually tell if someone has the attitude of, well, I just got caught, right? Rather than having a true heart of repentance.
Good point. Good point.
And so, which, of course, leads us right into the other big story recently with the verdict coming out of Minnesota in terms of
exactly.
The reaction of LeBron James.
Thank you. I was thinking exactly that.
Great minds, Michelle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. taking that responsibility for your actions and thinking things through. You know that the old adage, with great power comes great responsibility. With that kind of press, that kind of recognition, you have a greater responsibility. What are you doing with it? You know, and this kind of reactive reactions are unbelievable. What LeBron James tweeted as a result of that Ohio teen, Makiah, that's how you pronounce Makiah Bryant, showing a picture of the police officer and saying, "You're next." What the heck?
And Twitter does nothing about it. I mean, that's the thing.
And nor did he, even though he had a huge lashing from the public. No, I'm sorry, that was irresponsible. Nothing. Wow. What?
Well, I think we have all sorts of double standards in our society, and we see that constantly. We've definitely seen that with a lot of this stuff regarding this trial, the reactions to various politicians making their pronouncements leading up to the verdict. Basically, I know that the jurors were sequestered, but basically threatening them if a certain verdict wasn't reached. When we saw similar things happening from the president in January, and there was the Capitol riot and everything, it's amazing the difference in the societal response to
wrong is wrong, regardless of where it comes from.
Very similar types of actions.
Yeah, it's really sad, but we are continuing to see this. Maybe it's because of our obsession with celebrity that we give people these platforms where someone like LeBron can tweet something like that and the whole world's listening, right? With Hollywood, you know, why do we care what a Hollywood actor, just because they played the president before on a movie, we care what they have to say about a presidential election? It doesn't really make sense to me, but I don't blame them. I kind of blame us for allowing those folks to have more of a platform than they really should have.
Michelle, I think what it leads to is this, and I'll take it to another. I'll take it to another level, and I'll talk about LeBron's response as it relates to this. We are more interested in reactions than facts. That's what we've come down to.
Yeah, well put.
What do you feel about this? Not what do you think, or how should we look at the facts here? Let's take the Makiah Bryant situation in Ohio. That I've seen video from different angles of this situation, and apparently she had a knife, and the police officer made the decision that she was coming at a person with a knife.
She didn't just have a knife, it was up here, it was ready to strike, it was coming down, and you know, wow.
But we don't have conversations about those kinds of facts, looking at the video and saying, what do you see, what do you expect that officer to do?
Well, I think in our society now, we expect him to be a counselor, to offer counseling advice and say, hey, I can see that you have a knife and that you're distraught. We need to talk about this. You know, maybe we need to take a moment and, you know, just cool down, talk about things. That doesn't always happen, though, in the heat of the moment.
Well, it can't happen in the heat of the moment. That's the problem. And I mean, I heard a TV news person saying, well, he should have shot like up in the air or not shot at the person. And I thought,
that's irresponsible.
It is dangerous. That could hit anyone. That shows a lack of understanding of firearms. It shows a lack of appreciation of firearms. It shows a lack of firearm safety. And, you know, I don't know, perhaps there's an argument for, could he have shot her, you know, somewhere where it was less lethal, but he had about nine seconds to react to save this other girl's life.
And the question he had to answer in his own mind, and I don't mean to play mind reader, but I'm going to make this statement. People can fire away on Twitter at me if they want to, or anywhere on Facebook. He had to make a decision about whether that girl was going to be stabbed. Now, would you have liked the officer to wait until the person was actually stabbed? Because then the question would have been,
do you really want an answer to that in this day and age?
Why didn't you do anything before she got stabbed? Would have been the question.
Yeah.
It is easy to be a Monday morning quarterback or Monday morning basketball player in any one of these situations. And what I would have to say about LeBron has no problem with China and no problem with Nike making his shoes and barely paying people money to make those shoes, but he sure talks about systematic racism on a regular basis in the United States. And I would pose this question to LeBron. If there really was systematic racism to the extent that he believed there was, why are you a millionaire?
Well, that's one question. Why would he be a millionaire? But also on that same day, why would a jury find that police officer guilty? I mean, if the system is completely broken and needs to be thrown out, then clearly justice would not have been done.
Okay,
in that
so
situation.
The answer to that would be, you know, if someone were to answer that, they would say, because we put pressure. And part of that might be true. However, do you think that same kind of pressure had a whole lot of effect back in the 50s and 60s during some of those monkey trials where they found people guilty really because of the color of their skin? That was serious systemic racism. It was ugly. It was hateful. And thank God for the pressure that MLK and other people put on it to change that system.
But remember, at that same time, Michelle, there were actually things called Jim Crow laws that were in place, actual laws. And what I'm saying, if you want to talk about systematic racism, that was an example of actual systematic racism. Apartheid was an actual system of racism in South Africa. That's why South Africa was banned from the Olympics until they finally started to get their act together. I'll bring this question up this week. I want to see what the United States is going to do with the 2022 Winter Olympics. Are we going to go to the Winter Olympics in China and say we're down with that? We are down with that. If we want to be very, very honest and ask some of these hard questions, is Joe Biden going to make that tough call?
Well, that ties us into something else, Brent. You may have heard this story. The Olympics are now, Olympians are being offered legal support for if they make the choice to protest. Have you heard about that?
I had not heard about that. Yeah. I know that the Olympics were banning political protests, which I figured wouldn't go over very big because the Olympics have been a hot butt of political protests for years.
Okay, but how do we feel about that? I mean, I love that. IOC, I just want to play. But, you know.
The IOC, I think, made a good decision to ban political statements. You could wear a shirt that says peace on it or something like that. But
correct.
Any kind of political slogan or statement, they completely banned. And I completely support that because exactly what you were saying, Michelle, those who've been listeners with us for a long time know that let's just get back to sports. You know, let sports be sports. If you want to do it off time and you're not on the clock with the team, you know, have at it, because you've been given a platform, you've been given the opportunity, by all means, speak out. But if you are there competing and you're a part of the games, then just do that, whether it be professional sports in this country or anywhere in the world. Just get back to sports.
And what that does is it helps to bring a kind of a unity. It helps to mend fences. Instead of bring division, sports is that one place where, regardless of your political leanings, your religious affiliations, the color of your skin, who you choose to love, what you eat for dinner, you're able to come together, play together as a single unit, as a team. The idea of the Olympics is for us to be able to do that with other countries. And yeah, we're going to have difference of opinions with a lot of countries, but if we can play together, can we also speak together? Can we also find common ground? Can we also see a change that way? You don't get change but simply by hating each other, by spouting off. So that's where I agree with that. But now we're seeing, Rich, that there's now legal support that's pouring out. Hey, we will represent you if you choose to protest anyway at the Olympics. What's up with that?
A athletes' rights group in Germany. I cannot pronounce the name, so I will not attempt.
I think you should, because I'd be interested in hearing that.
No. I don't want the sports computer to blow a circuit or blow a hard drive. But the World Athletes Association is what it's called. It represents athletes across the world in all kinds of different sports. They are the main ones that are saying that they will provide support to athletes and legal counsel if the situations arise that their national governing bodies or specific sports bodies or the International Olympic Committee should bring sanctions against any athletes. The United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee said that it will not punish American athletes for any protests or presentations during the Tokyo Games or the Games in China. But I think one of the interesting things to think about this is, how is China going to use the 2022 Winter Olympics after Tokyo to show up America? Basically, they want us to come there and do these protests. The Chinese government is going to use the Olympics as propaganda for their system.
But we don't mind because it's China, Rich. You weren't listening.
It's so interesting because you not only have the independence issue with Hong Kong, but you've got the situation with, I can't pronounce this word, but the Turkish Muslims. It starts with a U.
Yes, the Uyghurs, I think.
That, you know, they have them in concentration camps, and it's basically a genocide going on, and yet we've got nothing to say about that.
Well, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be revisiting another issue, because I'm going to tie it in once again. This is similar to what we saw in 1936. Hitler used the Berlin Olympics as a propaganda tool. There were a lot of individuals, including the AAU at that time, were saying that we should not go to Germany in 1936. So this is going to be, this question is going to be front and center after Tokyo. And I'm just going to say, what do you guys think? I'm going to give my take last, but what do you think? We should stay or go or what?
Well, maybe it'll give us another Jesse Owens moment if we go, you know? I mean, seriously, when you have a black athlete in 1936 showing up to Germans, there's nothing sweeter than that.
That was beautiful, yeah.
So we can pray that something like that happens if we go.
But in reality, our division and our self-hate, loathing and hatred You know, it's not 1936 anymore in America, Garrick.
Yeah, it we're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. And the reason that we are is because we are inconsistent. If we were consistent, then the answers would be a little more clear and a little more straightforward, and we would be able to be a little bit more respected on the world stage, I believe. But, you know, we're just all over the place, and we apply double standards, and we you know.
We have no standards. Sometimes we have no standards.
Hypocrites.
Yeah.
We're hypocrites. Rich?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to sum it up this way, and I'm going to agree with Brent. I would go because of the potential for a Jesse Owens moment to be a light to the world, and it's something that people can actually see and actually change the minds of people. And I would also look at it this way. We are trying to seek a political answer to a moral issue. And that is never going to work. Because all the things that we have talked about this morning and this afternoon, wherever you happen to be listening, us, a political answer will never change the simple heart of a human being.
Well put. Absolutely well put,
yeah,
Rich.
Laws rarely change minds. It's, you know, yes, I'm not like a total anarchist, but you know, you can force your solutions by enacting laws, but if you don't win hearts and minds, you really get nowhere. You create underground movements and things that
you don't do that by division. You do that by conversation.
Right.
You do that by living it out, and you do that by living it out with consistency. The problem that we're seeing here is so screamingly apparent in a biblical worldview, people. I'm sorry, it just comes down to that. When there is no God, there is no ultimate good, there is no right or wrong, really. It's just what I feel. I feel this, so it is. But if I don't feel that, there's just no consistency. Check it out. Look at how consistent,
you know,
biblical views are.
There's something that did happen in the last couple of weeks that I think points out the scary path that we're on. This city manager in Brooklyn Center, which was the where George Floyd was, or where this
shooting happened.
This more recent shooting too. Dante Wright, I think it was.
Correct.
So the city manager said that it was important that the officer who shot this kid received due process, and he was fired for making that statement.
Scary, isn't that?
Yeah, not only was he fired, but the city council, I think it was like a 3-2 vote, but one of the council members said that they didn't fire him because they thought he was wrong, but they fired him because they were afraid of the backlash they would get for supporting that view. So if you're admitting that you don't want, you're afraid of applying due process, and
then you're giving into mob rule.
And, you know, it seems to me that one of the dark parts of our history is the presence of lynch mobs, where people would take justice into their own hands and go enact it on their own. And if we are disempowering, defunding police, getting rid of the rule of law, where do you think we're going to go? You'll have people with means, our rich athletes, our politicians with their private security courses,
mm-hmm.
and everyone else, if they feel like they've been trampled on, are going to start forming their own groups and going out and enacting justice in their own way.
And that's not to say that our justice system,
that's
not to say our justice system or our rulers are all right. You know, we've seen some of the things that happened there with the George Floyd situation absolutely brought some things up. that had been going on in that community for some time, but needed some cleanup. That's why sunlight is the best disinfectant. But when you shut out, what they were concerned about is their voices were being shut out. Their concerns were being shut out. And so we saw what happened in the community when that happened. So what's the answer? Shutting out another voice? Nah, inconsistency, hypocrisy, and that's what we're seeing. But strangely enough, we're talking about this on a sports show. Why? Because it has infiltrated into every part of our nation, and it's infiltrated into sports to the point where it's all politics. And all, what we'd like to see, as we talked about with the Olympics, is for it to be all sports. Wouldn't that be nice? I want to get to one other sports issue, and that's
it, Michelle. Before you go there,
yes,
I just want to tie in a quote from Dr. King.
Let's do it,
because this is what sports makes possible. His quote that many of us have probably heard before, but people fail to get along because they fear each other. They fear each other because they don't know each other. They don't know each other because they have not communicated with each other. And what sports
wow.
can do is, whether you be sitting in the stands or you're competing on the field with someone, it allows you to connect to the place where you can have some conversations and some communication. And it opens the door for that opportunity. And, you know, which is a big part of why I love doing this show, because I feel like we need to continue to beat the drum of unity through sports.
Amen. Amen. We're getting close to the end, but I did want to get in some NFL talk as the pigskin turns. Rich, there's some interesting things happening with rules, replay, and even some last-minute shuffling that's happening before we start to see spring training.
Well, actually, two real quick things before we go on to training camp in July, which is fast. We'll get around to faster than we know it. Tom Brady's a little upset that they changed the NFL numbering system because it might confuse who you want to block and how you want to execute different plays. So he's not in favor of that.
See, I hate to say I agree with Tom Brady, but
I totally know where he's coming from on that.
I mean, you've been trained all of your, all of your career. That's kind of part of it. That's how you recognize. And then you mess. What? Why are they messing with that, guys? What's up? I don't understand it.
There's always been a love affair with the single digit numbers for some reason. I remember it even playing intramural basketball at Seattle Pacific, where it's like, these stupid intramural uniforms, like, oh, no, I need the number 3. I can't have 42. So I think that there, for some reason, there's this sort of a romance associated with having a 1 or a 2 or a 7.
First of all, get over it. Secondly, rugby doesn't even have their names on the back for vanity, Garrick Payne. They just have the number. Represents the position. We don't have Coach E with us this week, but next week we can talk a little bit more about that. Because I would, as the we're getting closer to the first home match for our Seattle Seawolves, but rugby is playing, and that's a little bit different there. I think that's just nuts. As if there's not, once we figure out some of the other problems, then you can get to the numbers. But on this one, strangely enough, in this crazy, crazy world, there's a time where I agree with Tom Brady.
Well, I'd say the one other thing that we want to be cognizant of, NFL owners coming out of this most recent meeting, apparently there's not going to be a sky judge that can make calls. But the replay official is going to have more input and conversation with the on-field officials. I can hardly wait.
Yeah, NFL
that.
Games aren't long enough.
Yeah, I know.
15 minutes of officiating delays. Yes, that sounds awesome.
Oh, great. Okay.
Where are the Jetsons and robot officials when you need them?
Yeah, well, that actually brings up, because I know there's been we need to talk some baseball here, man.
Before we go, though, I have to comment on Michelle and our Seawolves. So I've been recording the Seawolves games because they are on Root Sports now for you local Seattle folks. And last game was a little bit painful.
It's been a little bit painful this year, this whole season.
We did have a nice win a couple of games ago, but Seattle Seawolves, and I had to chuckle to myself because where else can you watch Hookers and a Sin Bin?
Yeah, there's a lot of terminology that Americans in general have to learn.
I want to hear Coach E explain both those things.
Yes,
one week. Yeah, right. So go on, Brent, because we need to talk baseball.
It's baseball.
These Mariners.
I've been really excited about the way the Mariners have started, but what I wanted to lead it off with was the fact that there seems to be some more momentum towards an automated strike zone. Which on one hand would help with the consistency of balls and strike calls, but I think the more you take the human element out of the game, the more you hurt the game too.
Right.
Definitely.
You know, I hate it when there's a really bad ball or strike call against one of the players on the team I'm rooting for, but
yeah. But I vote for an automated commissioner. Rod Manfred. You and Larry Scott are in the same condominium.
But arguing about calls, I agree that some of the egregious, calls on the baseline or on the base paths or that sort of stuff or home runs, we have the ability to get those right. And I don't have a problem with that. I wish they explained better what was going on, like they do in the NFL when they do make a call reversal. But balls and strikes, come on, guys, just leave that alone.
I have to tell you, I've been watching a lot of baseball this season, and I have been incredibly just blown away, impressed by how well those umpires are able to call balls and strikes with a human eye. They don't have a little box on their screen of vision, so they can't see, but 99 or higher percent, they call them just right, and that's impressive to me.
I think, too, that the balls and strikes are getting called better now than they were in the past because now the umpires have that evaluation tool after a game to see where they were calling balls that were in the strike zone high or whatever. You can go back and look at how the strike zone played out compared to what the strike zone that the umpire had. Most players are fine as long as the umpires are consistent. And the ones that are not consistent with their strike zones, there's always more umpires in the pipeline. So that's where you make some changes.
Yeah, and the consistency that works for me. Any other thoughts on Major League Baseball?
We have to talk about the Mariners.
Mitch Haniger, oh my goodness. Great job as the leadoff hitter right now for the Mariners. And the Mariners are one of the best teams in Major League Baseball.
And guess who's leading that? Our bullpen.
Right.
Can you believe that? Were we not talking about that's where our weakness lies, was in our bullpen? And if it wasn't for that, we might have a shot at it this year. What the heck?
Well, bullpens tend to be really volatile.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
So, I mean, sometimes.
Given time, is that what you're saying?
Well, sometimes you can have a really good bullpen one year and bring all the same guys back and have it be trashed the next. That can happen. I think one of the things that another one of those really cool stories on the team has been how Kendall Graveman has emerged as a reliever.
Oh, yeah.
He was a starter last year. They brought him in to be a starter last year. They found that spinal tumor. That could not be operated on, but they said he could pitch with it as long as it didn't cause him discomfort. Well, he can go a couple innings. He can't go six innings like a starter, but he can go a couple innings, and man, he's been lights out.
He has been on fire.
And I think that has allowed the rest of the bullpen, which is younger, to settle into some roles. And you've got, I'm not totally thrilled with Montero as a closer. Kind of reminds me of a few years ago, Fernando Rodney. It's like, load the bases.
Oh my gosh, don't compare Montero to Fernando Rodney, please.
I think it'll get better. But I think Graveman's been the key to the bullpen. I think where my concerns are, we're still seeing the young hitters looking young. They've gotten some great clutch hitting. Haniger, Seager, Ty France has been awesome. So the top of the lineup's been good. I'd like to see Kyle Lewis hopefully get hot here once he's had a chance to settle back in. But we need some of these other guys to hit more. Granted, they're playing some amazing defense. They just went toe-to-toe with the Dodgers and played 2 one-run games, one of which they've won. They just beat the Red Sox last night, so they've not played an easy schedule, and still they're on top in the AL West for now.
So they've beat quality teams. Two numbers to look at real quick that tell the story of the Mariners' season. 7-3 in one-run games and undefeated in an extra inning game. 4-0. That's a team coming together. But based on those two numbers, that shows you the Mariner organization is headed in the right direction.
There's a mentality, I think, as well, when you get behind, knowing that you're never out of the game.
Exactly.
I mean, come from behind again last night, and you know, with a four-run, seventh or eighth inning? I mean, my goodness. there's that too. But
I think it's there are some things that maybe aren't quite sustainable if they continue to play the way they do. I mean, you're not going to get those kind of come-from-behind wins all the time if your team batting average is hovering around 200. That needs to improve. But I really like the way the team is learning how to win, and I don't think you can overemphasize that when you have a team full of really young players that have played some really tight games and found ways to win, even when you look at the box score later and wonder, how did you do that? I mean, last night they had one hit through 9 innings, and you're winning 7-3. You know, it says something both about where they need work and about the kind of group that's coming
and
together.
If they work out those tweaks, if they tweak out those works, I'm telling you, we might see something.
It's a group of young players that are not afraid of their opponents.
There you go. Hey, guys, exactly. It's time for us to take our final shot, where we go around the round table and take it on. Yep, we're going to go around the round table and give our final shout-outs, our thoughts of the week. And we are going to start with Brent R. Baker.
Well, we have talked a lot about social issues in this segment. We often do. I want to give a shout-out. I don't agree with this pastor on everything, but I want to give a shout-out to Avadi Bachem. I don't know if...
You mean Bodie Bachman.
Bodie Bachman, yes. I apologize because I read things. I don't often hear things.
Yeah.
He wrote a very interesting book about the racial politics in this country and draws a lot of parallels between, I'll just put it this way, cases that we are very, very familiar with, some of which we've talked about today, and cases that we have not heard anything about. And the only difference in some of the things that happened were the racial makeup of the victims of, well, we'll say in these cases, police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes courage to publish a book like that. So for the man whose name I couldn't pronounce correctly, I will give a shout out to him.
Okay, Rich Hallstrom.
I had the title of the book right in front of me, so.
You want to look it up?
Fault Lines is the name of the book.
All right. Rich Hallstrom.
Well, I'm going to go back to baseball for our my quote and statement of the week.
There you go.
Willie Mays received a Lifetime Achievement Award, the very first Lifetime Achievement Award ever given by Baseball America, the top magazine authority on baseball in the United States, gave out their first Lifetime Achievement Award to the great Willie Mays this week.
That's great. That is beautiful. Garrick Payne.
Well, I was going to give it to the Mariners bullpen, but some we had our first Sounders game last Friday night, and it, even though the score was 0-0 at halftime, it felt like a come-from-behind win. And in the first half, Raul Ruiz Diaz actually had, and he struck the penalty kick very well, but it was saved by the goalkeeper. But then for him to come back and score two more goals, and very good goals as well, mm-hmm. Speaks a lot about just who he is as a forward, as a player, and as someone who just has that mentality that he's not going to let anything stop him. And so my shout out this week goes to Sounders forward, Raul Ruiz Diaz.
Right on. I like it. And my shout out today goes to the folks of Texas. Thank you for your big Texas welcome. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for the reminder. Sometimes in Seattle, where I live, the climate can get a bit politically charged. There's a lot of influence there. And it was just really nice to just remember what America is really like. And I love this land of the free. I love the feeling when everyone was standing and singing out during the Dynamo's match to the national anthem. And I miss that. I love America, and I want to thank you, Texas. And I want to thank you guys for joining me today. And I love you guys. I mean, you probably feel it if you're watching this podcast that we all love each other. We've become family. And it's just one of the highlights of the week, just hanging out with the guys talking sports. It's such a glorious thing. Thank you for being part of it. And if you have questions, comments, like us, share us, email us. We care. Ask, email me. I'll forward it to the guys. We'd love to hear from you. This is the My Michelle Live podcast, and you can find us at mymichellelive.com. Thanks for joining us today.
For more fun, go to mymichellelive.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.